They say some women change your life, but the one I met, she redesigned mine, quietly, completely. And when it was over, I didn't just lose money, love, or freedom, I lost myself. My name is Malik Barnes. They call me Ghost. I'm serving 25 years in a Georgia state prison for crimes I didn't plan. Businesses I didn't own, and bodies I didn't bury. The woman who set it all in motion, she's free, she's famous, and she's teaching others how to do the same. This isn't just a story about love. It's about manipulation. Deep, psychological, spiritual manipulation. Told from inside the cell it built. One chapter at a time. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. They say every man has one moment that changes his whole life. For me, it wasn't a shootout. It wasn't a robbery. It was a woman. She was standing barefoot on the corner of Ralph David Abernathy and People Street, skin like roasted honey, eyes full of secrets, and a voice soft enough to turn silence into gospel. She called herself Velvet, had a table set up with candles, glass bottles of oil, and a sign that read, "Velvet's Vibes. Spiritual cleansing and psychic touch." I should have kept driving. I didn't. She looked at me like she already knew something. "You're not lost on the streets," she said. "You're lost inside. I can see it in your energy." I told her my name was Ghost. She smiled slow. "Figures. I bet you disappear before anyone gets close." That line hit deeper than it should have, and that's how it began. She rubbed oil into my hands, whispered things about blocked chakras and buried emotions. But what really got me, she didn't sound like she was guessing. She sounded like she was reading me. I walked away that day with a bottle of peace oil, her number, and a strange heaviness in my chest. Not fear, not love, something in between. 2 weeks later, I was waking up in her apartment, jazz playing on vinyl, candles lit, my clothes on her floor. We hadn't even been intimate yet, but I was already hooked. That was Jada Monroe, Velvet. No bra, no filter, just presence. She read books on psychology, market dynamics, body intelligence, and spiritual warfare. She cooked barefoot, prayed to ancestors, and spoke to me like I was her life's project. At first it felt good. She started showing up on job sites, meeting clients, and reorganizing my schedule like it was hers. And somehow, it worked. Money started flowing. New contracts, bigger projects. People loved her energy. They trusted her, but it wasn't just about business. At night, she'd whisper in my ear, "You're not just a builder, you're a brand. People follow energy. You need tools, tactics, persuasion skills, influence psychology. Let me teach you." And I let her. I thought I was leveling up, but really, I was being studied. Every word she said, every touch, every smile, it was all part of the design. One night, she took me to a private party downtown. Not a club, not a lounge, a space. Dim lights, expensive silence, crypto millionaires, real estate fixers, women in silk talking about NLP and offshore strategy. "That one over there," she whispered, "he launders cash through ghost properties, married a diplomat for banking access." I introduced them. That's when I realized she wasn't just spiritual, she was strategic. She walked through the room like a queen pin, and I followed like I was already under her spell. Later that night, she introduced me to a tech guy named Carter. "He's a back-end cleaner," she said. "Erases digital footprints. Builds server rooms for private influence networks." He looked me over. "You got a server room yet?" I laughed. He didn't. Back home, she started asking me for little favors. "Let me run one of my client accounts through your business. Can I keep a few contracts in your safe? You don't mind if I help restructure the LLC, right? It'll be cleaner." I let her. Because I trusted her. Because the peace she gave me didn't feel like danger. It felt like design. One night, we sat in candlelight. She held up a mirror. "Tell me something you've never told anyone," she said. I told her about my father, how he died in front of me when I was 9, how I never cried, just stared. She leaned in close. "That's why you build walls. You build to survive." Then she kissed me, and I swear, that kiss rewired my soul. After that, she was in, fully. She took calls for me, sent emails for me, talked to my clients, and every time I spoke, it felt like she had already written the script. Even my boys noticed. "You don't feel like ghosts no more," Trey said. "It's like you erased." I laughed, but inside I knew what he meant. Then came the night I came home late. Construction job had run long. I was tired, but something felt off. I heard a hum, a low buzz. It was coming from the hallway, from behind that one door she always kept closed, her workroom. The door was cracked, so I pushed it open. What I saw stopped me cold. The room was glowing blue. Three computer towers, screens filled with code, a massive display pulsing with data, voice recordings, transaction logs, behavioral charts. One folder stood out. "Ghost Project." I froze. Velvet turned around in her chair, calm, barefoot, silk robe. "You weren't supposed to see this." "What is it?" I asked. "Research," she said. "Behavioral mapping, influence tracking. You're studying me?" "I'm building you," she said. "Enhancing your leadership, understanding your triggers. You're manipulating me," she smiled. "I'm orchestrating potential. It's not control, it's elevation." That night, I didn't sleep. I tried to drive it off, cleared my head on back streets. But the truth was already planted. She wasn't my lover. She was my architect. Next morning, I checked my bank account. Gone. $84,000. Transferred to a foreign company, Red Sun Imports, Panama. I traced the transaction. It was approved from my own IP address. From inside that room, I called her. "You cleaned me out. I optimized your assets. You stole from me, Jada." "I did what needed to be done," she said. "You just weren't ready to see it." I checked my files. Emails I didn't send. Voice clips of me I didn't record. Shell companies, fraudulent contracts, all with my name on them. It wasn't just betrayal. It was a full psychological takedown. One I never saw coming. Later that week, I came home and the house was empty. No smell of sage, no candles, no velvet, just a black envelope on the kitchen counter. Inside, a USB and a handwritten note. "Don't fight the fall, ghost. You were built for this. You're the collapse. I'm the design. With love. VI plugged in the drive. One audio file. Subject, Malik Barnes. Primary traits, loyal. Structured, emotionally reactive under betrayal. Manipulation strategy. Erotic bonding. Identity erosion. Financial destabilization. Predicted collapse. 180 days. I sat there, frozen. Everything I built, everything I was, had become a folder in her system. She didn't just break me. She studied me. She mapped my fall. And I walked right into it. I didn't leave the house for 2 days. I just sat there, staring at the screen, listening to that voice file over and over again. Subject, Malik Barnes. I'd become a research study, a profile, a psychological playbook. She knew my fears, my weaknesses, my patterns, and she used every single one against me. But the worst part, she never had to raise her voice. She just used presence, language, touch. That's the kind of manipulation that don't leave bruises. When I finally got the strength to move, I started calling everyone I knew, my crew, my clients, old friends, even Trey. Most didn't pick up. The ones who did, they were cold, distant. I could hear it in their voices. They knew something I didn't. One client, a developer named Reggie, finally told me what was being whispered behind closed doors. "Word on the street is, you was cooking the books, ghost. Fraud, shell deals, fake payments. You know anything about that?" I paused, heart thudding. "That wasn't me," I said. "Then who was it?" he asked. "You know who," I said, voice low. "Velvet." He didn't answer, just hung up. That's when the paranoia hit. I started combing through everything, emails, invoices, permits, and every day I found more. Things I didn't write, files I never approved, but all of it looked legit because she'd used my language, my tone, even my damn e-signature. Velvet hadn't just studied me, she'd become me. And the streets, they believed it. Because that's what happens when your name used to mean something. People don't ask if it's true. They ask why it happened. A week later, I got a call from Trey. First time I'd heard his voice in days. "You need to come down to the spot," he said. "Something you need to see." I showed up at our old hangout, an abandoned barbershop on Lucille. He was already there, standing outside, pacing. He looked tired, uneasy. "What's going on?" I asked. He didn't say a word, just handed me a phone. On the screen, a video, security footage, Velvet, laughing, holding hands with a man I'd never seen before. They were in my office, at my desk, reviewing blueprints, signing papers, touching each other like they owned the place. "That's Tyrek," Trey finally said. "Her ex-hitter for one of the old crews in Bankhead. But now, he's into real estate, private equity, silent partnerships, and rumor is he's a federal asset." I blinked. "A snitch?" "Yeah," Trey said. "But smart, quiet. He uses women to get access. Velvet, she's just one of the tools." I sat down hard. I wasn't just played by her. I was being used by them. That night, I tried calling her. Blocked. I tried calling Tyrek's name through contacts. Nothing. So I went to her old apartment. Empty. Gone. No trace. Only thing left was a crystal on the windowsill and a faint smell of lavender. Back home, I poured myself a drink. Didn't even sip it. Just sat there, staring at the door. That's when I remembered something she once said during one of her full moon rituals. "Everyone has a limit, a crack, and when the right pressure hits it, everything breaks." I thought about all the moments she pressured me gently. "Let me take that call. I'll manage that client. Put your name here, I'll handle the rest." She never forced anything. She made it convenient. That's the difference between a scam and a system. Weeks passed. I kept quiet. Tried to undo the damage, but the damage was deeper than money. The damage was reputation. My crew split. My accounts froze. The city pulled my construction licenses for suspicious activity. Every door I'd built closed. And every whisper in the street said the same thing. Ghost lost his edge. He let a woman destroy him. He ain't who he used to be. But what they didn't know is that wasn't the worst part. The worst part was still coming. Because somewhere out there, Velvet was still moving. Still building, still engineering. And now, she had my blueprints. She had my identity. She had Tyrek. And whatever they were planning next, I knew I wasn't the target anymore. I was just the example, the warning, the test run. So I started preparing. Not to forgive, not to heal, but to fight. Because when someone takes your name, your business, your soul, you don't just sit back and watch. You become the shadow. You learn the game, and you burn it from the inside out. I didn't sleep much after that. Every sound outside felt like a footstep coming for me. Every silence inside the house felt like a countdown. By this point, I knew what was happening, but I still didn't know how far it reached. Velvet had disappeared. Tyrek was a ghost with a badge, and I was the last one holding the match in a house already on fire. I started digging deeper, not out of hope. Out of desperation, I went through every email, every contract, every call log from the past year. At first, it was noise, too many files, too many fake names. But then I found it, a shared drive she left open on accident. Maybe she forgot to wipe it. Maybe she didn't care. Inside was a folder called Inner Circle Redline Deals. It had everything, fake clients, flip titles, shell companies that never did real business. And worst of all, my business license was on every document. There were 8 property flips, 3 of them tied to people I had never met, people who were already dead, dead buyers, dead sellers. Real estate moved between corpses like ghosts trading keys. It wasn't just fraud. It was a body ledger. One name jumped out. Maurice Mo Dillard. That one hit hard. Mo was my guy. Tight since middle school. Helped pour foundations on my first job. I hadn't seen him in months. Thought he moved back to South Carolina. But in that folder, his name was listed as the co-signer on a property tied to a private bank in Belize. I called every number I had for him. No answer. Tried messaging his sister. Nothing. Then Trey hit me up late that night. Yo, Ghost, you heard about Mo? My stomach turned. Number Y. They found him. Out by Lake Lanier. Shot once in the head. No ID. But fingerprints matched. I didn't speak. Trey didn't either. That's when the weight dropped. This wasn't just theft. This was a cleanup. They weren't just stealing names. They were erasing liabilities. And I was the next one on that list. The next morning, I went to the police. Not to confess. Not yet. Just to ask a question. See if my name had popped up in the system. The clerk looked me over, typed something in, and froze. You need to speak with the detective, she said. Why? Because your name's on an active investigation, tied to 4 properties, 3 flag transactions, and now a homicide. I didn't wait. I walked out, got in my car, and drove straight to my mama's house. Told her to pack a bag. Told her I was going away for a bit. Didn't tell her why. She looked at me like she knew this day was always coming. That night, I drank alone on the back porch. And I remembered something Velvet said when we first started seeing each other. Real power doesn't announce itself. It moves through systems, quiet, like air. I finally understood what she meant. She didn't want attention. She wanted infrastructure, a setup that ran itself, with me as the front, and her and Tyrek behind the curtains, pulling strings. They used me to open doors, then used Mo to seal the cracks, then used my silence to burn the bridge. And now, they were gone, with everything. I started writing it all down. Every detail, every transaction, every name I could remember. If I was going down, I wanted the story to outlive the sentence. But deep inside, I was still holding on to something stupid. Hope. Hope that maybe, just maybe, she cared. That somewhere under all that strategy and control, there was a woman who once looked at me like I mattered. But hope is a dangerous addiction, especially when the dealer knows exactly how to dose you. And Velvet, she was a specialist in emotional engineering. The next day, I got an anonymous package at my office. No name, no return address. Inside, a burner phone, 1 number saved, 5, and a single photo. Velvet, sitting beside Tyrek, smiling, in front of my mother's house. The photo of her sitting outside my mama's house didn't scare me. It ended me, because that wasn't a threat. That was a message. She wanted me to know she could still get close, even now, even after everything. She was still 3 steps ahead. And the worst part? She smiled in the picture, like this was all part of the design. I smashed the burner phone against the wall, but it didn't help. I felt like my body was filled with wet cement. No fight, no flight, just stuck. The wall started closing in, and within days, they really did. The cops came at sunrise. 4 black SUVs, 2 detectives, 1 warrant. They didn't knock. They kicked in the door, dragged me out barefoot, handcuffed in front of my neighbors. No questions, no explanations. Just, you're under arrest for wire fraud, conspiracy, and possession of falsified government documents. Jail wasn't new to me, but this was different. This wasn't over weed. This wasn't a misunderstanding. This was federal. And the charges? They stacked them like bricks on my back. Every fake transaction, every forged signature, every shell company she ran under my name. It was all on paper, all digital, all mine. And her? Velvet was nowhere to be found. Tyrek didn't exist on record. The paper trail pointed only to me. They gave me a court-appointed attorney, young, nervous. Didn't even try to hide the fear in his eyes. Honestly, he said, you're looking at 25 minimum, maybe life, if they tie you to the homicide. What homicide? Maurice Dillard, your partner. I didn't answer, because saying he wasn't supposed to die wouldn't save me. The DA made sure the courtroom felt like a stage. They painted me as a mastermind. Said I was the architect of a real estate laundering empire. Said I lured young men into my business and disposed of them once they served their purpose. They read text messages out loud. Played edited voicemails. One recording broke me inside. Velvet's voice. Ghost is exactly who we needed. Smart enough to build the house. Dumb enough to think it's his. The courtroom laughed. I didn't move, didn't blink, because my soul had already checked out. No one came to testify on my behalf. Not my crew, not my clients, not even my mama. By the time the trial ended, the decision was made before the jury stood up. Guilty on all counts. They gave me 25 years, no parole. 25 years for trusting the wrong person, for letting her into my head, my business, and my identity. 25 years for love. The prison they sent me to ain't even near Atlanta. It's up in the hills, cold, quiet, a place where voices echo longer than memories last. My cell is small, metal bed, concrete walls, nothing but time. And every night I replay the story, not for answers, not anymore. I tell it to myself so I don't forget the truth. Because lies are easy to live with once they feel like memory. And the truth is this, Velvet didn't just destroy me. She designed my destruction. She tested me like an experiment, tracked my reactions, watched me collapse from behind the glass. She wasn't a girlfriend. She was a systems engineer. She studied dark psychology, learned about leadership transfer, understood auditory influence and language manipulation. And she applied it all to me, like a project, like a game, like a slow motion execution. Now I sit in this cage, counting not the days, but the decisions that led me here. Each one carved like a scar into memory. And sometimes when the lights go out, I hear her voice again. You're not the victim, ghost. You're the blueprint. Years pass differently in prison. Time doesn't move in days. It moves in patterns. The sound of the gate sliding open, the scrape of steel trays on concrete, the silence before lights out. After a while, you stop counting. You stop waiting for freedom, and you start watching your own mind like it's the only channel left on a broken TV. I spent my first 2 years locked in a loop, replaying everything, every red flag, every warning. Every moment she stared at me like she could see who I was about to become. I thought I was healing, but really, I was preparing. Not to forgive her, not to forget, but to understand the exact shape of the damage. It was year 3 when I heard her name again. One of the younger inmates was listening to a podcast. Spiritual healing, influence mastery, energy alignment. The host, Jada Monroe, Velvet. Her voice hit me like a blade made of honey. Calm, warm, calculated. She was still moving, still building. Only now, she had rebranded. I got my hands on one of her episodes. She called it Emotional Engineering, the Art of Restructuring Relationships for Power and Purpose. And she opened it with this line. We're not here to feel safe. We're here to feel seen. And the most dangerous people are the ones who see you too clearly. She wasn't even hiding it. Everything she did to me, she had turned it into content, into curriculum. She was teaching other people how to do what she did to me. But cleaner, faster, legally. I should have felt rage, but all I felt was clarity, because now I understood. Velvet didn't destroy me because she hated me. She chose me because I fit the mold, structured, emotionally fractured, hungry for purpose. I wasn't her victim. I was her case study, her proof of concept. One night, I got a letter from an old client. He never testified during my trial, but he kept tabs on my case. Said he found something I should see. Enclosed was a photo from a private fundraiser in Buckhead. Velvet again. Different look, same energy. Standing next to a city councilman. One of the same men who once rejected my permit applications. Now smiling with her, like she was royalty. The caption read, Spiritual strategist and emotional marketing consultant Jada Monroe speaks on cognitive resilience and market psychology. She had taken the tools she used to manipulate me and sold them to the elite. I stared at that picture for a long time. Then I folded it up, put it in my pocket, and walked outside into the prison yard. The sky above was cold, clear, unforgiving. And I realized something. She may have won the game, but I lived to tell the blueprint. So I started writing, not to get revenge, but to record the method, every tactic, every phrase, every pattern of behavior she used to wear me down and build herself up. Because there's power in knowing the rules, even if you learn them too late, and maybe Someone else out there needs to see what a real con artist looks like. Not a thief, not a scammer, but a woman with a voice like silk, a mind like a scalpel, and a plan that unfolds in whispers, not threats. I don't know if I'll ever leave this place, but my voice, it already escaped. Through this story, through these words, through the blueprint of everything I didn't see until it was too late. They called her Velvet, but I call her Shadow, because she didn't just take my life. She stepped into it, quiet, smiling, and walked away with my future in her pocket.